Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're continuing now with the ninth installment, and we're trying to hold to full chapters, and this particular chapter is a little shorter than the ones before. So it'll be a bit of a shorter, and then the chapters start to get a little bit longer. This chapter is called On Asceticism, and it's on page 96, and it's the ninth recording. It's not the ninth chapter, but the ninth recording. Oh, it's open. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله إبراهيم رسول الله موسى رسول الله عيسى رسول الله عليهم صلاة الله اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام وعليك يعود السلام تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذو الجلال والإكرام. Page 96. On Asceticism. We thank Allah with a thanking befitting His blessings. And this thanking of Allah is because He deserves thanking. And more than that, for everything, give him thanks only because he is there. The greatest blessing that he has given to me is that of knowing him. This was after he helped me to know myself, which I did not know before. His help is ancient. From the beginning, he prepared me to be his mirror. And also my own mirror. I see him in my mirror, and he sees himself also, the perfect one in me. This is also after he most graciously sent a messenger who carried all of his perfect qualities, as-sifat. Here I mean the absolute master of existence, the Muhammadan presence, Al-Hadra al-Muhammadiyya, who is the reality, al-Hakikat, in all of existence, both in the dense, al-Katif, and the subtle, al-Latif, in the apparent world of al-Zahir, and in the hidden world of al-Batin, in the seven heavens, and whatever they contain, and in the seven earths and whatever they contain, and in all creatures, whether human or jinn or angel, because all of these are his sons, whether they are from his body of clay, or from his world of self, or from his world of heart, or from his world of secret. By all this I mean that he's the mercy, and even more than the mercy, because all of this is from the praise, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the mercy. But the source of this mercy is something greater, which is behind him. If you want this and want to be on this path, on his path, you need to take upon yourself some of his example and manners of the As-Sunnah, and to be from his exactness or perfection by following the example of how he walked and how he ate and how he talked. By this, I do not mean the outside form of his sunnah, but its essence. My beloved who helps me, who waters this tree of mine whenever I am thirsty, who nourishes me, Allah has bestowed upon me all of his mercy, and I ask him that he may bestow upon all us all of his continuing mercy. For this is the reality of Muhammad. Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. But it is not possible for you to enter into or to go behind the source of this mercy unless you remove all the clothes of this world, of the ad-dunya, to replace them with the clothes of renunciation or asceticism, and to leave everything behind you to come to your beloved Allah. And this is the station of asceticism, az-zud, which is an honorable station, al-maqam. It's the station of the ones who are on the path, seeking entrance to the presence of the King. By his grace, he will raise them to this. And this is the quality of the state, al-hal, of the people of God. When you leave all these worldly things for that which is greater, well then, if he wills, this will happen for you also. I want to explain the meaning of asceticism, az-zud. For the family of God, it means to leave this world for the world to come, the hereafter, the al-akhirah, which is the true state of al-Islam. This Islam being the inner state of your life rather than an outside one. It also means to leave this world and the hereafter for the King, al-Malik. Here you are in the station of surrender to God, which is the station, the al-maqam, of Ibrahim, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, in which all of your speaking, all of your time, and everything that you have will be toward Allah and for Allah alone. By this, you will reach the station of belief, al-maqam, al-iman, leaving the questions of why and what and where, and leaving the desire for either heaven or hell. And the state of your heart will be always saying, I want only to see you, my Lord. There is a story that is told about Abu Bakr ibn Jahdar al-Shibli, who was a holy man who lived in the 9th century. He became one of the students of al-Junayd, the great master and teacher at that time in Baghdad. Shibli was the son of an official at the court of Baghdad, and he himself was given imperial service as the governor of the province of Dimarand. And one day he received a letter from Baghdad summoning him to present himself to the caliph. He set out with the governor of Rai and a retinue of servants and other lesser officials into Baghdad, where the caliph invested him with robes of honor. When the ceremony was complete, the party began the journey to return home. And on the way, the governor of Rai caught a cold and began to sneeze and cough. Without thinking, he wiped his mouth and nose on his robes of honor. Well, this was reported back to the caliph, who immediately dismissed him from the office of governor. It was this incident that woke Shibli up. He said to himself, if someone uses the robes given to him by a human being as a handkerchief, and for this he is deposed, what will happen to him who uses in like manner the robe conferred by the king of all the worlds? He went immediately to the caliph and gave up his office and found his way to Al-Junayd in Baghdad. When he arrived in the presence of the master, Shibli said, I am told that you possess the pearl of divine knowledge. Either give it to me or sell it to me. Junayd answered, I cannot sell it, for you do not own its price. And if I give it to you, you will have gained it cheaply, and you will not know its true value. But throw yourself into this ocean in order that you may win the pearl by waiting patiently for it. Shibli then asked Junayd about what he should do, and Junayd said to him, go and sell sulfur. So for a year, Shibli sold sulfur, as Junayd had told him to do, and at the end of the year, Junayd said to him, this trade has made you well known. Now become a poor man and occupy yourself with begging. For a whole year, Shibli wandered the streets of Baghdad, begging from passers-by, but no one took any notice of him. And at the end of the year, when he returned to Junayd, Junayd said to him, see now, you are nothing in the eyes of the people. This was to teach you to never set your mind on the people, nor take any account of them. For a time you were a chamberlain, then the governor of a province, now return to that province and ask forgiveness from all the people whom you wronged. Shibli obeyed Junayd, and for 4 years he went door to door until everyone had acquitted him except one person whom he couldn't find. And he returned to Junayd, who said to him, you still have some regard for your reputation. Go and be a beggar for one more year. Shibli did this, and every day he would bring alms that were given to him to his master, who gave them to the poor people, and Shibli remained without food until the following day. After the year had passed, Junayd accepted him as a student, with the condition that he perform the duties of a servant for the other followers. When a year of this service had passed, Junayd asked him, what do you think of yourself now? And Shibli replied, I deem myself to be the lowest of Allah's creatures. And Junayd said, now your faith is firm. When you have finished with the station of belief, al-Iman, you are taken to the station of excellence, al-Ihsan. In this station you stand at the beginning of asceticism and renunciation, and now you will be like a stranger in the world in which you are, yet at the same time you are not. It is as though you were only passing through it. Here you carry the holy meaning inside your heart and your soul. For this reason it is said, be a stranger in this world. Love God and then he loves you. Look not with desire to what is in the hand of another, and he will love you. Look at his heart and not at his pocket. Understand that this renunciation is the right way of Islam from the beginning. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, renounce the world and Allah will love you. And renounce what people possess and people will love you. Through this, the light will enter your heart, illuminating for you the way to Allah. When the renunciation is true, it reveals itself in haya, the qualities of modesty, awe, politeness, respect, and love. This haya is more than taqwa, which is the quality of devotion and reverence lying between the essence of fear and the essence of hope in the presence of the King. The person who has this haya will show patience in the face of difficulties, thankfulness for everything that comes to him, whether it is ease or hardship, and deep surrender to the decrees, al-qadr, of Allah. Whether what Allah gives or takes is precious to him or not, he says, I am a slave between your hands, my God, do what you want. And if he has enemies, he is not happy when ill befalls them. When he has reached the deep humility of haya, having left behind all attachments to this world and to the world of the hereafter, there is no fear after that. Only the deepest awe for Allah. And the mercy is such that as he stands alone without anything before Allah, he is as Moses, may peace and blessings be upon him, who could not look at Allah because he wouldn't have been burnt up. As Allah, mighty and exalted, as he says in his Quran, and when Musa came to our appointed time and his Lord spoke with him, he said, O my Lord, show me that I may behold thee. And he said, thou shalt not see me, but behold the mountain. If it stays fast in its place, then thou shalt see me. When his Lord revealed himself to the mountain, he made it crumble to dust. And Musa fell down swooning. So when he awoke, he said, glory be to you. I turn to you in repentance, and I am the first of the believers. Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was the light from the beginning which Musa had asked to see. And when Allah, mighty and supreme is he, said, thou shalt not see me, but behold the mountain, what Musa saw was the light of Muhammad, the first light, which was the light inside the mountain of his own being. Thus we can see that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the veil of mercy for us, so that through this veil we can witness the mountain of Allah inside. And it is necessary to go through the beloved of Allah, the Holy Messenger, the guide, peace be upon him, to see the face of Allah through him, and to live in the life of the real freedom of all the time, freedom all the time. It has been said that there are three kinds of asceticism. The first is that of the fearful, of those who give up this world in order to save themselves from the fire. The second is the asceticism of the merchants, those who give up this world because they want the good things which Allah has promised them in the garden. The third is the asceticism of the lovers of Allah, and this is the highest and the most graced. The lovers give up this world for the love of Allah and not for fear of the fire, nor because of desire for the garden. They do not turn to anything but to their king, and they do not desire anything but to look upon his compassionate face. And they keep on climbing for this, from station to station, until they are killed by the sword of Allah. And so they become martyrs in his love, in the Qibla of Allah. They are the holy sacrifices of their Lord because they have sold themselves to him. And he has bought them with the price of himself. So they are in him and he is in them. And this is what is meant by the saying, if you give, he gives. And Allah, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, says, Allah has brought from the believers their souls and their wealth in exchange for the garden. They fight in the way of Allah and they kill and are killed. It is a promise of binding to him in the Torah, the Evangel, and the Quran. Who fulfills the covenant better than Allah? Rejoice then in the bargain you have made, for that is the supreme attainment. Quran 9:111. These are the beloveds of Allah. The surrender for them is that if he gives to them, they are thankful. And if he withholds from them, they are patient. This is the beginning of asceticism, from which they will continue without stopping from station to station, ascending by his grace and his mercy. Their asceticism is such that if Allah gives them anything, they do not keep it for themselves, even if they may need this thing. But they prefer to give to another. They think of others before themselves, and because of this, they have been sent as the mercy to all the people. And this is the meaning of what Rabia, may Allah be pleased with her, said. And it is the same to them if they are rich or poor, if they are important or not, or if they are praised or not. So their actions are without covetousness or avarice. And if they are raised up, they have not asked for this. They have cut off all attachments except their attachment to Allah. Finally, asceticism means that a person does not give of his blood except for Allah, and to be killed in the garden of his knowing. Then Allah is well pleased with him, and he is well pleased with his Lord, and now he deserves to be a true slave of Allah. Alhamdulillah, that brings us to page 102. To next installment will be entitled The Voice of Al-Mujahada. And that's a pretty long chapter, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.